take your Bible and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, I want you to find verse number 5. John chapter 6, verse number 5. I mentioned this morning the title of this evening's sermon, and it's Be Slow for the Sake of God. Be slow. John chapter 6, verse number 5. Would you stand with me, please? John chapter 6. We're going to read together a passage of Scripture, then I'm going to read another passage to you. And so John chapter 6, verse number 5, the Bible says this, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." I'm going to pray, and we're going to talk about that scripture. I'll read another scripture to you, and I want to talk to you. And tonight's sermon is about being patient and even sometimes slow in making certain decisions in life. And let's pray. Father, help me tonight. I'm not going to be loud and wild, but I am going to say things that will be life-changing for some. And so, Father, help our minds to give attention to the truth and to the what I think is godly wisdom that you will give us through tonight's sermon. Holy Spirit of God, bless us with thy presence, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You heard what I just read. I want to say right this moment that is a little story about Jesus and Philip in the Bible. Let me read another passage of Scripture to you. It's found in John chapter 14. Verse number 7, it says, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" Now, I want to make a comment about Philip. I'm going to tell you a little story that has nothing to do with Philip, and then I'll come back to this in just a moment. I happen to think that Philip was a cautious person. He was cautious. I see in the Scripture there are times when Philip was slow in making some decisions, and I don't think it was a lack of faith necessarily. I think he wanted to make the right decision, so he was trying to be wisely cautious. Now, something that most of you will understand very well. When I was pastoring up in West Virginia, I went I was out in the country, up in the mountains, and I drove down. If y'all understand when I talk about a holler, you know what that means? I'm not talking about screaming with a loud voice at someone. I was going down a holler, and I went to visit a fellow that had come and visited my church, and he was in his backyard, and boy, from yards away when I pulled in, you could smell that he was cooking, and it smelled good. I mean, the scent of what he was cooking, it was everywhere. When I got there, I knocked on the front door, and his wife said he was out back, and I went behind the house, and he was making barbecue, pulled pork. And we were talking, and boy, it was smelling good. And most of the time, if I'm around a fire and the smoke blows toward me, I move. This time I was moving to get in the smoke. But we were talking, and he was every bit a redneck, a good old boy, and he was cooking, and he was serious about it. We got to talking, and in our conversation, he was using a smoker, a slow cooker, and I told him, I said, "Well, you know, you could make that go a lot quicker. You could use a pressure cooker." And he almost had a heart attack when I said that. He said, "Nah." Not, he didn't say no. It's nah, 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 nah. He said no. You can't do that. Well, I'm a type A personality, and I was ready to get that thing done and over with and get on to something else. And he was not for that. And he never did tell me how long that pork needed to cook. Now, I talked to Ronnie, and Ronnie said 10 to 13 hours is what he would put into it. And if you've never had Ronnie's pork, he knows how to make that pork. And how many of you would like Ronnie to bring some by this week if you put your hands up? Okay. But we, as I was talking to this fella, I finally asked him, I said, well, how long? Now, he didn't give me a number of hours, but he said this to me. He said, until I know. Till I know. I said, well, till you know what? He said, till I know it's just right. That's all I was going to get out of him. But if you ever had this man's, the pork, he knew it was good. And it needed to be cooked slowly. Was there another process that was quicker? Yes, but you didn't get the same product. You didn't get the same quality. Now, I think a part of the personality of Philip in the Bible, Philip was a little slower moving, and I don't think that this is a terrible, terrible character flaw of Philip. Look, you had Philip who was a little more careful in what he said and what he did, and then you had Peter. I mean, Peter was fast, impetuous. You know, Peter's the guy that when the rapture comes, they're going to cut him loose in heaven, and he's going to run right past the gate. He'd be out there running around the thing, and then someone will say, "Hey, you want to come on in?" And that's Peter. But now, I think Philip was a little slower moving. I think Philip was a thinker. I think he was a thinker on purpose. I think he was cautious. I don't think he was cowardly. I think he was careful. Now, I would say this to everybody in here. Some of you go too slow in life, and you'll never get anything done. And don't be like that. But I do think there is a time when you need to settle yourself, calm yourself, and take a little extra time to make decisions. When we read the passage of Scripture in John chapter 6, where they were feeding the 5,000, that's the first passage that I read to you. There was a great multitude that had come to Jesus. It was a hungry crowd. Jesus and Philip get into a dissertation or exchange of words, and Jesus begins to talk to Philip. He said, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. I'm not really sure that Jesus was trying to dog Philip here. I think when he says he was going to prove him, he was just checking up on Philip's thought process and how was Philip thinking about this thing. And you find out that Philip, what they were worried about is how are we going to feed all these people? And this is what happens. Philip answered him. He said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone that they may take a little. Now, you do understand that Philip then must have thought about how much money they had, how much bread would cost, how they could subdivide that among 5,000 people so they could feed them all. I got a feeling that Philip was thinking. And so somebody might say, well, that's Philip's lack of faith. I'm not really sure that's totally true. I think that Philip was cautious, thinking, calculating, and he was trying to say something that made sense. Now, Philip, I'm not sure Philip had any idea Jesus was going to say, don't worry, I'll take care of it. I'm going to whip off a miracle here real quick. Philip was trying to figure out, how are we going to feed all these people? And so he was cautious. Then, when we read the second story from John chapter 14, Jesus and Philip again are talking. Jesus is explaining. He said, if you know me, you know the Heavenly Father. Now, I got to tell you something. Jesus is now teaching Philip something Philip has not really learned real thoroughly. He's teaching them about the Trinity. Now, I don't know how many of you remember the first time you heard the doctrine of the Trinity, that we have a three-part God, but it's one God. Now, really, right out of the gate, that's a little confusing and taxing on the human mind. And Jesus and Philip have this conversation, and Philip is a little slow, just jumping right on board. I don't think Philip was trying to be rebellious. I don't think Philip was trying to be bad. But Jesus ends up saying to him, he said, look, Philip, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. And I think Philip, not sinfully, I think Philip was trying to absorb the information that was given to him. You look thereafter. Philip's not this rebel. Philip's not out to cause trouble. I think Philip was cautious. My children would tell you through the years, and I thank God for this. My kids will call me and they'll ask advice. Dad, how would you handle this? Or what would you do about that? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? There's something they hear me say, and I just know it's got to be a little tough on them. They'll call me with something, and they're thinking that in that conversation, at that moment, I'm going to say, do this or do this. But I often will say, let's think on it. And I just know on the other end of the line, they're thinking, no! Let's do this. Now, often I'll say, let's think on it. And it's not because I don't know what I want to say, but I would rather they figure out a few things about it. Now we can have a meeting of the minds later. But every once in a while, you need to slow down with your decisions. I described it this way this morning in the church service. To me, decisions are a little bit like apples. You want to eat an apple that's ripe. If you eat an apple that is ripe, it's very good for you. But if you pick an apple that's green and you eat a green apple, that'll make you belly sick. Now, if decisions have ripened in your mind, they're healthy for you. But if you prematurely act upon a green decision, you can cause some sickness in your spiritual life, in your decision making. So I think we need to be careful. I think there are some things about which we ought to be slow. Now, I've had the privilege of counseling thousands of people. I'm going to give you very quickly some things that I think you ought to be slow about. I'm just going to make some observations. And if you say, well, I disagree, that's fine. But what I have discovered, these things are things that you ought to be slow about. I could give you verse after verse after verse after verse about being slow, about being patient, about taking your time. I'm just going to quickly give you a handful of things that I think you ought to be slow in making decisions about. For instance, number one, I think you ought to be very slow about spending large amounts of money. Be very slow about spending large amounts of money. Listen, something my daddy taught me when I was young, he said, if you're about to spend a lot of money, sleep on it. You say, sleep on the money? No, sleep on the decision. Sleep on it. When I come up against a big decision about money, I sleep on it. It's amazing how on Monday it seems like a fabulous idea and I sleep on it. On Tuesday I go, what was I thinking? Be slow about spending large amounts of money. Can I tell you who wants you to go fast when you're going to spend a large amount of money? The person receiving the money. Right? The guy selling you the car. He said, you got to get her today. Listen, when you go to buy a car, be slow. That's a big investment. That's a big investment. Well, I've seen a couple of your cars. It's not always a big investment. Okay, when you're buying a home or a piece of property, you slow down. That's a big decision. Businesses and business loans. Be careful. So, be slow about spending large amounts of money. Secondly, be slow about quitting or changing jobs. Be slow about quitting or changing jobs. First of all, be glad that you have one. Be glad that you have one. But when I talk about being slow about quitting or changing jobs, I have to tell you, a lot of times I'll watch people, they'll quit a job because of a particular situation, and they'll go to their new job where that particular situation exists. But now at their new job, they have no seniority. You say, well, there's somebody there I just can't get along with. So where are you going to go to work? Did you find some place that doesn't have people there? Now, everybody here, are there not people struggles everywhere you go? Sure. So be slow about quitting or changing jobs. Pray about it. Pray about it before you quit. Maybe get counsel. Sometimes you just need to wait. You ever heard the old terminology, jumping out of the frying pan into the fire? You say, well, nothing could be worse than where I'm at right now. Don't say that. God has a way of proving you wrong. Don't be hopping all over the place. And just settle down. I will admit, I worked at a place, I can remember one night, I was so mad, I wanted to quit. I'm driving home and I'm thinking, I'm going to quit. This place is going to collapse without me. They need me. I'm out of here. I am so... And you know, I'm driving along and all of a sudden it occurs to me, I have a house payment. I have a wife and children and a Christian school bill and a car payment. Well, I'll just hang around a couple more days. If you're not careful and you get in the flesh, you'll quit a job and you'll regret it. So, be slow about quitting or changing jobs. Number three, be slow about sending a hot letter to someone, an angry letter. Be slow about it. We usually want to do things like that in the heat of the moment. Did you know that once, and we have people here that work for the post office, once you've written a letter and you stamp it, you lick it, and you put it in the box, it's gone. You can't get it out. And if you try, you go into jail, baby. Once you send, now, you say, oh, preacher, that's the snail mail. Oh, I know, but you do understand when you email it, it gets there even quicker, and there's no getting it back. And when you text it, I wonder how many people in here in the last 2 weeks have texted something you should have never said to somebody. Because you were acting quickly and in the flesh, and you had to say that. I'm telling you, you're going to regret it. Before you push the send button, you better calm down. You better get unemotional and get spiritual. You'll say something to hurt someone, and I'll tell you what else you're going to do. You're going to reveal what you are. And some of you be better off not revealing that. Look right this way. Pay attention up here. Some of you desperately need this, but you're not paying attention. Be slow about sending an angry or a nasty letter. I am so grateful. By the grace of God, I was taught that when I was very young. You will not find anywhere in this world nasty texts, nasty emails, or nasty letters to my account. And if you did, they're lies. Because I have always hesitated. I've written a couple. I remember I wrote a note one day. I was so flaming mad about something, you got to push me pretty hard to get me feeling that way. I'd written it. And I put it on my desk, and I said, she's going in the mail tomorrow. I read it again the next day, and I thought, she's going in the mail the next day. I read it again, I tore it up, and I thank God I never sent it. Your texting, your emails, the snail mail, whatever you want to call it, be slow about sending a harsh, angry, mean letter. Number four, be slow to speak your mind. Now, some of you, you think you've got this person out. Oh, I just tell everybody what I'm thinking. No, you don't. You don't tell people what you're... Hey, if you're going to tell everybody everything you're thinking, aren't we going to be pretty disgusted with you sometimes? You don't reveal everything you're thinking, so don't give me that junk. But I would say to you, be slow to speak your mind. Do you know that in us are a lot of hateful, wrong things? Put a sock in it. bite your tongue. But I'd be careful. Be slow in speaking your mind. Let me make a couple comments to you about this. For some of you, something happens and you've just got to speak your mind. Could I recommend that you just let it go? Just let it go. That's hard for some of you. You say, well, I want my say. I want what I deserve. No, you don't. You don't want what you deserve. Hey, can I tell you this? Did you know you do not have to comment about everything? You don't have to comment about everything. Did you know that you do not have to give your opinion about everything? It might not be the wise thing to do. So, be slow about speaking your mind. Number five, be slow about giving up your spiritual duties and quitting your duties. Be slow. I've watched a lot of people. Something doesn't go their way and they quit. They quit their Sunday school class. They quit their bus route. They quit their singing group. They quit this. They quit that. Listen, folks. Everybody wants to quit at one time or another. But be slow about doing that. You say, why? Oh, we make terrible decisions when we're angry. We make terrible decisions when we're hurt. We make terrible decisions when we're extra tired. We make terrible decisions when we're confused. We make terrible decisions when we're offended. So, you say, that's it. I'm never going to drive that bus again. I'm angry. I'm going to quit. Okay, keep those words in your heart and in your head and set on it for a little while. Now, everybody here, if we would all tell the truth, there are times you wanted to quit and you delayed and you're glad that you did. But if you're not careful, you'll give up spiritual duties and then regret it. And then you'll be sorry that you gave them up. Let me go on. Number six, be slow in pronouncing blame or guilt. Be slow about pronouncing on someone blame, pronouncing on someone guilt. I'm talking about being fair and just with people. We're all pretty well convinced that our angle on justice is the right one. We're all pretty convinced that I'm right. Listen, be slow in pronouncing someone guilty of something. Be slow in finding blame with people. I would recommend that you, if a decision has to be made, I'd recommend that you first gather facts and then gather all the facts. Then you weigh the facts. Your perception is not always right. I would be careful casting blame on someone when you're tired, mad, hurt, offended, jealous. You say, why? All of those are behaviors of the flesh. And so when you start finding someone guilty or blaming someone and you're in the flesh, you may make the wrong decision. So be slow in pronouncing guilt and blame. You know, I think that there are times when our children are very clearly wrong. Let me tell you something. Parents, if your child is wrong, but you're angry, delay your discipline. Because you should not discipline in the flesh. You know, there's the old saying, you know, tell your child to go to their room. You just go to your room. And what we're telling them is you go in there and get control of yourself. You go in there and think about what you've done. There's some parents you need to go to your room and think through the discipline you're about to dole out to make sure it's fair and just and appropriate. But be careful. Now, let me give you another one. Be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. At least 8 times, I believe, and I'm doing this by memory, I think 13 or 14 times the Bible uses the word slow. 8 of the 13 times, it is slow to anger. 2 of the 13 times, it is slow to wrath. So that means 10 out of 13 times when the word slow is used somewhere in the 66 books of the Bible, it's talking about our anger. Listen, folks, God's telling us, if you're going to be angry on purpose and be angry under control. Because when you're angry out of control, again, you're in the flesh. And listen, there are some people in here, you are quick on the draw. I mean, you're like that, and it sets you off. Be careful. Don't be microwave mad. Be slow cooker mad. It's not supposed to be just like that. You're mad. You're flying off the end of the handle. No, it ought to be. You're watching it. You're controlling it. You're analyzing it. And there comes a point when you say, I'm about to use the emotion of anger, if you will. You know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. God, our God can be an angry God. That is our God, holy and perfectly under control, using the thing called anger as a tool to help. Not as a power to destroy. And he never does anything in the flesh. Never. So, the Bible teaches to be slow to anger. A couple more and we're done. You can go home and watch the Rams get beat. Number 8. Be slow on any life-changing decision. Be slow on any life-changing decision. And listen, I have watched people make life-changing decisions, and I mean, from one day to the next, and my head's spinning. I'm thinking, whoa, how could your spiritual life and your family life be so unimportant that you could make a decision of that magnitude that quickly? Listen, if something's going to change your entire life, be slow. Take your time. Be careful. Be cautious. Slow down. Let your thoughts on the decision mature so they're not green apple decisions. So any big life-changing decision, you should take your time. Now, I'm going to give you one more point and we'll be done. Be slow with people who are not slow. Be slow with people who are not slow. By the way, if you ever want to lead people who are quick on the draw, you can't be. You will never take one leader that's quick on the draw with a follower that's quick on the draw and them get along. They're going to clash and there's going to be war. So somebody has to have control of themselves. Be slow with people who are not slow. People that spend money quickly and don't think about what they're doing. Be careful. Don't hurt them. Help them. But if you're not careful and they spend money recklessly and they'll go out and spend a lot of money and they don't even think about it. And if you're not careful and you throw your hat in the ring and you're all wound up in the flesh. Now we've got two people that are in the flesh. You won't help people that way. You go down the list that I just gave you. You learn to be slow with people that are not slow. That is, if they spend money quickly, change jobs quickly, you know, say things, write letters they shouldn't, speak their mind too much, give up spiritual duties, pronounce guilt, anger, whatever it is. Did you know somebody is to be controlled by the Spirit of God? Somebody has to have their emotions under control. Because there are a lot of somebodies that might not. And so, be slow with people who tend to not be slow. Isn't it a good thing that every once in a while you come across somebody that's patient, and they'll think through what's happening, and they'll calm it, steady it, solidify it, and keep you safe. Now, some of you that are more mature Christians, been around a while, you ought to be stepping into that position. Parents, you got to be slow with those that are not slow. Leaders, learn that. I think that Philip was a cautious, not cowardly, careful, not foolish. I really believe he was trying to be cautious and think through what was going on around him. And I think all of us ought to be slow for the sake of God.